Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Going to talk about canoeing and kayaking to begin our program today. Here in Wisconsin, there are so many great places to canoe and kayak, and you might never live long enough to get to all of them, for sure. But our guest today can help you out quite a bit. Timothy Bauer is the author of a new book. It's called Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. We'll take a look, closer look at some of those routes, take your questions and comments about paddling. Where are your favorite places to canoe or kayak? Thinking about becoming a paddler? Maybe you have kids, you want to get them involved. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Timothy Bauer, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, how'd you get interested in kayaking?
The story I like to tell is that it was to impress a girl, and it was a love affair ever since, which was more with kayaking than it was with the ill-fated star-crossed woman. But really, it's because I've always had a love of water, but I didn't actually ever get into a boat until a good friend of mine, who lives here in Madison, just took me out one day on a short stretch of the Yahara River in between Monona and Stoughton here in Dane County. And I just had a wonderful time. It was so great to be on the water like that, to experience the natural world, to feel the current underneath you. And about a week or two later, I bought a boat.
It didn't take you long, in other
words. It took very little.
And mostly kayaking, or do you like canoeing too?
I really like canoeing as well. For practical purposes of transporting boats and getting into more narrow, intimate creeks, I've just kayaked more than I have canoed. But I really enjoy, there's really nothing I enjoy more than getting in a canoe and camping overnight a few nights on a river like the Lower Wisconsin River.
Yeah. Great place.
It's just so much fun. It's all the benefits of car camping, but you still feel like you're doing some wilderness backpacking at the same time.
Yeah. And your book, how'd you come to write the book?
It is born of a website first. A good friend and partner of mine, Barry Kelpinski, created a website called milespaddle.com, and it started as a tracking journal for all the trips he was doing with a couple of his friends back in 2008, 10 years ago. And I discovered this website just by chance, thanks to Google. And I really liked what he did. He documented his trips. He added some photos, sometimes video. He told you what it was good, what was bad, what he'd do differently. And so I thought I might want to contribute to this website. I reached out. He liked the idea, and we forged a relationship pretty much from that. And after doing that for a few years, I found that I had a lot of material that wasn't covered in other guidebooks. And I thought,
because there are a lot of other guidebooks out there.
There are. Many of them are not in print anymore, for better or worse. But there still were trips that I wasn't finding in other guidebooks. And I thought, I think there's room for a kind of niche-specific guidebook. Not for any type of paddler, but for a geographic region in particular.
Yeah. And I love it when I opened the book, on the inside cover, right off the bat, you've got all of the 60 places where you can kayak, and you can look at that and say, oh, okay, well, I wouldn't mind going over toward the Dells, or going, you know, you can look and see, or Dodgeville, or wherever it is, and you can quickly look at that and then just go to the, and go to event numbered, okay, 36, let's go look at 36 and see what it's all about, and then you give a nice description.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you like the map.
Yeah, the map's great.
Well, when you see a book that has Madison in the title, or even South Central Wisconsin, some people think, well, that's probably just like Dane or maybe Jefferson County.
No.
And when you look at the book, you know, it's the concept is 60 miles within Madison or from Madison as a hub. And it nearly goes out to Milwaukee. It nearly goes out to the Mississippi River, down the Illinois border and to basically
north
central.
North of the Dells.
Right, north. That area, north of the Dells.
And then right down to the sort of the bottom, as you might say, of the state.
Many people do say that.
The Illinois-Wisconsin border.
Right. So it is a large territory that it covers, and that was intentional, just to have a book where basically you can drive about an hour in any direction and have different choices.
Yeah, it's great. Timothy Bauer, our guest today. Author of Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin. Join in with your questions or comments at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, and we'll take your calls. Matter of fact, Donna in Friendship is online, so let's go there. Donna, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted you and your guests to know about the brand new fishing platform and kayak launch, which is completely accessible, that was just dedicated by the Friends of Nisida National Wildlife up at the north end of the Nisida National Wildlife on their Goose Pool Pond. So it is a completely brand new kayak launch and fishing platform that is accessible. And it was just dedicated on June 2nd of this year.
Well, very good news. Thank you so much for calling, Don. You're familiar with that particular area, for sure.
I am. And thanks for calling, Donna. The Nisida area is a little bit similar in terms of being a national wildlife refuge. As other parts of the state, it's mostly a marsh. So those who are familiar with Horicon, it's pretty comparable to that, but not as known. So it has that going for it. It's a little bit outside of the jurisdiction of this book, so it didn't make it in terms of that. But I think it's wonderful to hear more of these cases of kayak canoe launches that are going around the state. There's one on the Baraboo River, we noticed maybe 2-3 years ago, downtown Baraboo. And the more popular paddling gets, you see more of these accesses, because not everyone wants to brave twisting an ankle, going down a steep gradient at a bridge, or some questionable plants. So anything that makes easing into the water, especially for those who have other able abilities.
Yeah.
You know, there are several of those I've seen around just in the last 5 years as well.
Sounds like this one at Nisida fits that bill as well.
Probably, yeah.
Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. So the book is for, as I look through it, it seems like the book is for pretty much anybody who wants to either get started or has already been out there quite a while.
Yeah, that was an intention that I thought about before compiling the list of trips and which sections of them. I didn't want it to be just a whitewater book. I didn't want it to be just a flat water family planning trip. I wanted it to be for everything. I wanted there to be trips for brand new paddlers who could be on a lake or just a really wide river that has no real gradient to worry about, no real obstacles or obstructions, but also to throw in a couple hairy, scratchy sections of rivers that only those with a real love of paddling and a strong forbearance to being frustrated would like to put up with. Some people do. Some people really do like several down trees to portage around or under, if only because those are guaranteed to be solitude trips where you won't see anyone foolish enough to bother with those.
Yeah, a lot of those trips would not be Larry trips. But I do enjoy coming on say, a tree or something, a big branch that's across the water. It's kind of, I just don't want to do it every 100 feet.
That's exactly right. I don't think there's a paddler anywhere who sees a log jam and gets excited about it or welcomes it, but you put up with it to a point. And
sometimes if you're fishing, though, it's a good spot.
That's true. That it is all how you look at it. Though if you have a lot of fishing gear, that may be caught up in the trees and bit more of a headache.
Just to talk about, before we go to the phones again, talk a little bit about how you're have it organized each trip, because I like the way it's organized, and I kind of like your choice of words for shout outs and food for thought and fudge.
So the little inside joke there is I used to I'm accused of going on a lot of details and tangents when I tell stories. And so sometimes before I would tell a story, I would ask the audience, do you want the facts or do you want the flavor? and then I just thought, the fudge, this is, of course, not a paddling term whatsoever. Just a little extra something on the side, what they call lanyap down in New Orleans. And for that, I wanted to include other trips on this stretch of water. So what's upstream, what's downstream, why didn't I include those? Is there a place to rent a boat if you don't already own one? Is there good camping opportunities, usually public campgrounds? And then, if sometimes there are food for thoughts, if there's an interesting, unique, privately owned, family-run restaurant or bar or something like that. Or just a historical curiosity. Sometimes they make it. Not every trip has it. It's
no,
very
but
ad
it's
hoc.
Fun to see them, though.
Yeah.
Mary Lou in Wausau. Let's go to you next. Hi, Mary Lou. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, and I've got to thank you so much for opening up my mind to the possibility of the southern part of the state. I actually live in Monroe, but we spend a lot of our summer in our cabin up north in Minocqua area,
yes.
And that's where we do all of our kayaking on the rivers and lakes there. But unfortunately, my grandsons can't always come up with us and spend much time, extended period of time up north. But they live in Madison. I can take them on day trips now. So I'm just going to bring a couple of my kayaks down to the farm, and then I can grab the kids for a day trip. I'm getting that book.
Well, thank you very much, Mary Lou. You're situated in a unique straddling of both Monroe and Minocqua, and there's certainly a lot of great places up in Minocqua, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And I think a lot of people do tend to think of the better paddling destinations in Wisconsin up north in the North Woods.
Yeah.
That's true to a degree, but I wouldn't necessarily say that the better ones, just different ones. But there's a lot of great stuff in South Central Wisconsin, even closer to the Illinois border by Monroe. There's the Pecatonica River. System is just a little bit west of that. The Sugar River is near that. There's a lot of great stuff.
So there you go, Mary Lou. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, the book, I should mention this now. It's Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin. Timothy Bauer, our guest. And Timothy, probably get local bookstores are going to have it and so forth.
Yeah, they should have it. Someone sent me a photograph of the Hotel Red by Monroe Street. They have a lobby, as many hotels do, and a coffee table, and the book was there, which I thought was quite serendipitous. But I believe most local stores do carry it. REI, of course, has it. Rutabaga has it for sure. And what a good thing to have in our backyard, which is Rutabaga. And, of course, it's online as well.
And Mary Lou, thanks again. Timothy Bauer, our guest today, talking about his book, Canoeing and Kayaking in South Central Wisconsin. What about you? Interested in getting started? You have a favorite route, maybe, that you'd like to talk about? Numbers 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dave Potratz, our engineer, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking with my guest, Timothy Bauer, spelled B-A-U-E-R. That's how his last name is spelled. He is the author of Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, subtitled 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. Questions, comments, experiences to share? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Jeff emailed to say thanks to the canoe outfitters who are keeping streams passable. The Baraboo River has always been a favorite stream, but it was always such a pain to portage past snags. There are now outfitters in Baraboo, Waniwak, and Rock Springs, and they do an excellent job of keeping the river easy to ride.
We do always want to thank both the outfitters and just regular Jane and Joes who bring a saw along with them, handsaw, sometimes a chainsaw, battery-operated sawzalls even work. Just anything we all can do to keep our rivers a little bit more accessible. Until someone can figure out how to train a tree to fall backwards and away from the water, this is always...
They always fall toward the water.
They always fall toward the water. And we're always playing defense against this. I mean, that's just the way nature goes. It's not like a hiking trail where it generally stays the same, and if there's a fallen tree, you just walk over it. It's battling, it's a little bit more complicated. So any help goes a long, long way.
Bob in Poinette, let's turn to you now. Bob, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I got a question for the author and a couple questions, actually. I live 4 miles north of Poinette, and there's a trout stream there, a slow-moving trout stream, flows right through my yard, goes under U.S. Highway 51, and I think there's a different book, like Best Kept Paddling in southern Wisconsin. And amazingly, that portion of the stream is in that book. I'm wondering if it's in the book I'm listening about.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for a great nuts and bolt question like that. I think you are thinking either of Rowan Creek or Hinkson Creek.
Actually, it's Rocky Run Creek.
Oh. Well.
Hey, so here's my story. Yeah. Okay, like last spring, my driveway empties right onto the highway. There were eight kayaks unloaded at that bridge, and they were headed downstream because it ends up being Rocky Run Creek flows into the Wisconsin River about 2.5, maybe 3 miles downstream by the way the stream flows.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked down and asked what those people were doing. They said, well, we read about this in this book. Well, before it was over and done with, I'd given them three saws and a hatchet and a small axe because I knew they were going to need it on the way down.
You're a good man.
And they did return them to me and thank me graciously for them. And the next weekend, I had to warn the other people. As you go downstream about 100 yards and you already have to get around a fence that's across the stream. And so I'm just... you know, warning people, you never know what you're going to run into. I've done that trip myself, my son and I, once, twice at the same time, first and last. Because in low water, when the river is low, you have to actually puddle through mud before you get to the Wisconsin River.
Mm-hmm.
So paddling can really be interesting. But if there are people out there, if you put in Rocky Run Creek at Dunning Road, you can come all the way down through that creek pretty much unimpeded to get to Highway 51 because my neighbor floats it with a canoe all the time for duck hunting and deer hunting. So that would be a good trip.
And Bob, thanks a lot for calling. And Timothy, Bob's got some other spots that are mm-hmm. really close that you talk about in your book.
You might even say it's page 82. so Rocky Run Creek is actually one of the trips listed of the 60 in the book. And it's specifically Highway 51 to the Decorah boat landing, which is on the Wisconsin River. So it's an example of a trip in the book that starts on one stream and ends on a second one after the confluence of the two. I am very glad to know about Dunning Road. I've had my eye actually on that bridge and a kind of makeshift access to it to go to Highway 51. I've always thought it would be almost a suicide mission. And so if your neighbor helps clear it out, that is bright news for a future trip. I will say from personal experience last year, a friend of mine and I, who's still a friend of mine after this trip, tried doing about a 5-mile trip from Cuff Road to Dunning Road. And it's only, like I said, 4 or 5 miles, and it took about as many hours because it's not a paddleable stream. But it is a wonderful trout stream. So it does have that going for it.
There you go, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Give a call or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Terry emailed, and she says, and you've probably been on this river, she suggests that everyone who loves water should canoe or kayak the Brule in northern Wisconsin. Pristine water. Otherworldly, really, and it is. Mm-hmm. Cool and clear, very unique. The flora and fauna is are amazing.
There's a little bit of ambiguity here because there's the Brule and then there's the Bois Brule.
Bois Brule.
And there seems to be a bit of argumentation between which one is which. The regular Brule is the border with the UP in the northeast. And then there's the Bois Brule, which still goes by the Brule, which is a trout stream that flows into Lake Superior. And friends of mine and I did a three-four-day trip up there 2 years ago for Labor Day weekend, and it is just magnificent. The entire river is surrounded by state forest.
Yeah,
couple rapids to watch out for, but those could easily be portage, or you just don't do that section. But if that is one of the best streams in the upper Midwest.
I'm glad she mentioned the cool, pristine water. Are there, in terms of water, pristine water perhaps, or cool and clear water, what are some of the ones that are in your book?
Yeah, we don't have too many paddleable trout streams down here, or at least spring-fed streams. But one just off the top of my head, of course, is Badfish Creek. It is a little bit controversial in the sense that it receives discharge from the Madison Metropolitan Sewer District. Sounds way worse than it actually is. It's super clean. You could drink from it. It's crystal clear water. It is cool water. And the trip on the Badfish, the last 7 to 10 miles, are just wonderful. And you feel like you are far away from Dane Rock counties.
And where would you start on that? What's the starting?
Traditionally, Old Stage Road down to, Casey Road. Or you could go past Casey Road into the Yahara River, where it feeds there, just upstream of Highway 59. But if you're just looking for a 7-mile stretch, Old Stage to Casey is kind of the quintessential trip for Badfish. The accesses are wonderful. Again, thanks to volunteers. There's a group called Friends of the Badfish Creek, and they have put a tremendous amount of sweat equity into a kiosk, informative kiosk there. A path to the water, not a designated, like, constructed launch, but a launching area that's a lot less muddy and just accessible for anybody.
Let's take Peggy in Madison next. Peggy, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm very excited to hear you on the air. I am a canoer. Mm-hmm. I would not call myself expert by any stretch, but I just bought a new used kayak. And I want to take it with me on a trip to Buckhorn State Park. I've never been to Buckhorn before, and I've only kayaked a few times. So I have two questions for you. One is, what can you tell me about what I might experience kayaking around Buckhorn State Park? And the second question is, I bought the kayak with those foam pieces that you put on the roof of your car. Do those really work? They look like someone waiting for danger to put a kayak on your car with those. So I wonder if you can help.
Sure. Those are great questions. In terms of Buckhorn, it's predominantly lake paddling because it's impounded water from one of the dams on the Wisconsin River. So you will expect company with motorboats, and you want to be careful about their wake that they would create so you don't capsize or get flooded. And also just be careful of what kind of direction the wind is coming in, because that could make paddling just a lot more work than it is recreation. But otherwise, it's a very pretty area, and I've myself have not done this, but I know there is canoe and kayak sites for camping at the state park that are otherwise inaccessible to vehicles. So it has that going for it. In terms of the foam blocks, it is, of course, the thrift version of transporting your boats. And I started off that way. I think a lot of people start off that way. They're perfectly fine. They're not ideal, but they're perfectly fine, provided that you simply tie and strap down your boat adequately. And I can't encourage this enough. You don't want just straps around the boat over the hood of the car, but you also want to tie it down in the front and the back.
Yes.
Don't learn from some of my mistakes about how to lose a boat, whether it's with foam blocks or a regular kayak rack. So it's good to start off with the foam blocks, especially if you're not sure if you're always going to be kayaking and canoeing. You don't want to invest in something that you're just not going to be using too much. But if it really sticks with you, I recommend just looking on Craigslist for different car rack assemblies, because you could always find that stuff online, and it's pretty much as good as it is brand new.
And, yeah, and there are times, you know, as you get a little older, it's a little harder to get that kayak up on top of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those new systems allow you to sort of mechanically
right.
move that kayak or canoe up to the top of the car without any effort, almost.
Right. I've seen they have almost like pneumatic arm cradles that I don't know exactly how they work, but they make it look really easy. And I know Yakima makes a bar extender. There's a piece that extends lengthwise out from the crossbar itself, and that's just a way to lean your kayak on something and then just use that as leverage to push it up on top of the roof.
And Peggy, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Good luck with your new kayak, your new used kayak. That's great.
Thanks, Peggy.
Sue from Wanakee says she and her husband are about to be empty nesters, and so they're looking for a hobby to do together, and exploring waterways sounds ideal, but as beginners, do they go for canoeing or kayaking? Which would be easier to transport, store, and learn?
Oof, this is a philosophical question
that could divide people.
I'd say probably kayaking. Canoeing sometimes can be a quick recipe for divorce, or at least argumentation. Whereas kayaking, you're still doing it with your companion, but you're doing it together / separately.
Yeah, each of you has a kayak.
Right, and you're responsible for your own traveling and can't blame the other person for doing the incorrect stroke or steering them into a down tree or anything of the sort. So I would probably recommend individual kayaks, especially if you don't have too much paddling experience first.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. Let's go to Mary in Spring Green. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I'm hoping your guest can answer the question we all have burning in our minds. Is Barry single? We love his website.
Oh, Mary.
I can't recommend it highly enough. The beautiful videos, I would guess he's brought so many people in to the sport just because his love of the outside and his passion for the rivers comes through loud and clear, which is wonderful. And I'm always surprised people that really like to kayak and canoe, a lot of people have never heard of that site, which perhaps is just as well to have it as this wonderful, nearly underground resource.
Mary, that is very kind of you to say. And I have bad news for you, I'm afraid. Barry is a happily married man. with two adorable kids. But I agree with you. He's a good-looking guy. But he's taken. But thank you very much for your kind words about the website. We love hearing from folks like you. We do this because we want the information to get out, and hearing from fans of the site makes us feel like there's a purpose to it. So thank you.
And the site again, you know, people are now saying, wait a minute, what was that site?
Mm-hmm. It's milespaddled.com.
Milespaddled.com. And Timothy, you are a contributor, of course, to that as well.
I am. It's pretty much Barry and I, although it's open to anyone. Anyone could be a guest contributor. We have about 4 to 6 somewhat frequent guest contributors. But like we said, Barry started this 10 years ago. I've been on board for 8. And as of now, we have about 2,800 miles of paddling trails on over 100 rivers. A few lakes, great and good, but we do mostly cover rivers, and it typically is in Wisconsin. Not exclusively so, it's just Barry and I both live in the Madison area, and so it's just out of logistics how far we're able to ever escape and go afar.
Yeah.
But we cover a couple places in Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, and Illinois as well.
Mike in Milton has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Hey, yeah. I got a tandem kayak, and I got a 4-year-old and 8-year-old. And we use that quite a bit, just stick the 4-year-old in front and between my legs. But what I was wondering is how to kind of expand that experience with them without getting a separate kayak, if you know of any setups or things like that.
So it's a kiddos. It's a tandem canoe or a tandem kayak? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Tandem kayak. Yes.
Okay. I guess the first idea that comes to mind is just investing in a basic canoe just to see if the kiddos take to it. I think that would be easier than getting a second boat or setting up the kayak in some clever handyman way. You could always find a used, decent aluminum canoe for a few hundred bucks on, again, Craigslist or some sort of online forum like that.
If Mike wants to take his kids out this weekend, where that was the other question he had, what's a good route? Now he lives in Milton.
Yeah, Milton area. You've close to a couple decent lakes in the Rock County. There's Storrs Lake. There's Bowers Lake. No relation. You're close to Turtle Creek and the Rock River. There are a couple of good segments, just depending on how far you want to go, how many hours you have planned. You're always going to go a little bit slower with kids, of course. May want to stop off more. But Milton sits in a pretty good pocket. The Bark River also is nearby, just a little bit north of where you are. Yeah, and anyone listening today, by the way, if you have any questions specific and want to really dive into the weeds, if there's something we just don't have time to cover today, feel free to shoot me an email or Barry at milespaddled.com. On the homepage, there is a just contact us, say hello, and any of the specifics we'd be happy to get into.
Chris called to say she witnessed a canoe fly off a car on the freeway. Wants to remind people to tie those down securely, as we were just talking about.
Yeah, it really can't be stressed enough. I was driving on July 4th, just last week, and friends of mine who were actually joining me for the trip, I noticed that their kayak wasn't tied down in the front and back, and it was already at about a 45-degree angle. And I knew that this was, they had only a short window of time, especially on the interstate, with all the draft coming from semis. It's remarkable how little it takes, actually, to launch a boat from your roof. So it can't be stressed enough. Always tie in the front and back.
And I had a friend who showed me a photo taken through the car window. This is on Highway 27 in north of Hayward. Of a car going up the road with the canoe perpendicular to the car and attached in the back and sticking out both sides of the car.
Well, that's probably the least aerodynamic friendly way, but it's visually entertaining, I'm sure.
Visually entertaining, but yeah. you can't imagine on a narrow road. Oh, boy.
Take out a lot of vehicles.
Cindy and Paola, it's up to you now. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Larry. I admit I'm not a paddler myself. I'm a farmer, so I don't quite have enough time, but hopefully someday. But I was hoping that you could tell us a bit about the section of the Sugar River that runs through Pale Lake, because it looks like a beautiful section of river to paddle to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah, thanks, Cindy. That's a really good question. It is a beautiful section of the river, and that is one of the trips listed in the book. You start a little bit south of Verona, and then go either to Paoli itself at the County Road PB bridge behind the former old mill there. There's a grassy lawn. Yeah,
kind of pretty area.
It is a very pretty area. And the hop house is right there for a refreshing beverage after your trip. You could also continue down stream from Paoli to Basco. There's a County Road, I believe it's A bridge down there. Not a great access, but it's certainly doable. And what you'll experience along that trip is a very intimate section of the Sugar River that is quite different than what probably people are more used to seeing on the lower Sugar, which is a wider, slower river. Some of those strips downstream on the lower Sugar are very pretty too, but upstream it's much narrower. It's meanders quite a bit. Wildlife will always be good. The water clarity is especially nice, and it's just got a little bit more pep to its step. So,
yeah, there you go, Cindy. Thank you so much. And Rick and Wilton, your turn. Hi, Rick.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the
Hello.
Call.
Yeah, I just had a comment about the racks for the canoes. We invested in my wife's probably listening high out there. We invested in a Kevlar North Star, you know, beautiful canoe, spent a lot of money on it. So I want to make darn sure we didn't do what I just heard, you know, with the people losing their canoe. So I just wanted to mention there's a company called E-Trailer, and they make a rack called AdRack. It's technically a ladder rack, but I installed it on my Silverado, and it's beautiful. It just goes right in the bullnoses, sturdy. It has hooks for all the cords. And, you know, especially getting older with a Kevlar is beautiful, about 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Put it right up there and tied down beautifully. And the whole thing was under about $400. Yeah. So just a comment.
All right.
That's
great. Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate your call as well. So there's another one to consider if you're thinking about getting something, a new rack for the top of your vehicle. Tell you what, Timothy, this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, your book, Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. It's really a fun book. I was going to read a little piece from it, but we ran out of time before I could get to it. You're a good writer, too, so appreciate that as well.
Oh, thank you, Larry. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks, everybody, for calling in.
Yeah, Timothy Bauer, our guest today, and maybe we'll have him back and do it again. We're going to switch gears and talk now about, actually, you know, when you're out canoeing, one of the fun things to see and hear, especially when you go through some of the marsh areas, are all the birds. Birding is a great activity. And it's good for no matter what your age limit. And we'll be taking a look at getting kids interested in birding with our next guest, Jonathan Aldefer, who has a new book out. It's a revised version of Bird Guide of North America from National Geographic Kids. That next, here on the Ideas Network.